Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right. Welcome back. Right on time, as always, the prompt head coach of the Oregon Ducks, Dan Lanning, as the Ducks get set to take on Wisconsin Saturday. Coach, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you guys doing?
Oh, my God. Never better. What's worse, your weekly press gatherings or phoners with chuckleheads like us?
Oh, man, this is bad. This is all good.
Oh, good. Okay. All right. Well, we kind of worried that you might hate this kind of stuff.
Well, no, it's not bad.
Well, okay, let me ask you a more broad question. How do you view media within the landscape of what you do?
Well, I think it gives an opportunity to create a little bit of a vision for our program for recruits, right, which is something you always want to be able to take advantage of. And, you know, just shed the best light on your program as well. So I think it can be a tool if you know how to use it the right way.
Was that one of the biggest adjustments going from being a coordinator to a head coach is all that other football, non-football stuff that you had to deal with?
Yeah, I'd say so. Yeah, I'd say that's a piece that's different.
I know that I find it just crazy that, you know, you're in the throes of a season. You're trying to win the Big Ten. You're trying to get to the college football playoff. And now all of a sudden they're throwing all these recruiting, you know, the recruiting ramps up to a signing day. What changes would you like to see with regards to dates on recruiting and the portal, et cetera, to make it easier on coaches?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to picture how you can do it the right way and still, you know, make everyone happy. You know, I've always felt like the football season should end January 1st regardless. Like, I feel like the national championship game should be January 1st, and it would be awesome if recruiting started. You know, it never is going to just start. You do it all the time, but it would be great if the signing windows were after that. Well, it used to be, right? It used to be in February. That's when the signing day was. Well, now it's become newer and newer in college football, and certainly we're a team that's trying to take advantage of it, where you sign high school players in mid-year, right, in December. And that allows you, you know, to get guys here then. Well, that moved the signing day up. So I don't know if there's a great answer of when that could occur. I mean, some people were making a push for that to happen in the summer, and I think that's too early. You know, for guys to be able to see how the seasons play out, when coaching changes happen, all those things that happen within seasons. I think, you know, signing in the summer doesn't really give you the opportunity to see that. You know, for us as coaches, you want to watch how players develop their senior year. So there isn't a great answer to make it right, but it is what it is. You just got to deal with it.
Yeah, but if you push it back, I think what you're saying is if you just push it back a month, that saves you a lot of...
Yeah, but then it would certainly make your job easier, but then that would eliminate the guys that you want to sign mid-year that could come join your program. A lot of guys now in high school are graduating, you know, after the first semester of their senior year, right? So, you know, that doesn't really – you'd still want to sign those guys mid-year. So, like I said, I don't know if there is a great answer just based on the way the windows have been created already,
yeah,
unless the season moved up earlier.
Yeah, it's weird now too. You see, like, you know, and I don't think you've necessarily dealt with this one. Maybe you have, not that I know off the top of my head, but it's like, you know, you see where a coach can make an in-season move now, and the kid's like, well, okay, well, I'm entering the transfer portal. I think it was Lane Kiffin that said, we essentially have free agency. And I know he can't play that same year, but he brought up the fact that we kind of have free agency in the middle of the season. And that is just such a bizarre thing to think about in the context of any sport.
Yeah, it's definitely different. Definitely different. I mean, to have free agency more than one time a year, multiple times a year, is really kind of what happens. And you hope that your culture, overcomes that, and you have players that, understand the process and what that's going to look like. But that's every person's, different. Every individual's different. So you always have to do a great job of painting a vision for what it looks like if they continue to stay here and build in this program. But then on the same note, take advantage of the opportunities that exist out there when guys do enter the portal and other programs.
Yeah. Is that something that you do when you sit down with exit interviews, or do you do it in the season with like check-ins? Is that something that you have to do individually is sit down with a kid? I remember exit interviews and it was always like, hey, this is what we're doing next year. But do you have to think now, like you said, kind of longer term when you talk to kids in your own program?
I think you hope that conversations like that are happening all the time with the players in your program, and they have a good feel for where they're at and where they can improve. I don't think that can be something that just happens once at the end of the season or once in May. It's about having, great relationships throughout the season and throughout the year of what that looks like. And it takes a level of trust too, that they feel like they're growing in your program and those things are happening for them. But it's hard the way the windows are set up and how demanding the season is to find time to say, okay, let's do exit interviews with everybody this week. It's just hard to make that occur whenever you have so many other things going on in the season. So you hope there's a good enough relationship that if a kid feels a certain way, he'll walk into your office and talk to you as a coach.
Yeah, you guys have had back-to-back transfer quarterbacks, and I was thinking about this today with all the recruiting stuff, and now you have the portal that you can mine. Do you think the days of developing quarterbacks in college football are dwindling?
No, not necessarily. And, I'd even argue that if you look at the way that the quarterbacks that we've taken have performed, is they've really developed in our program. Maybe they're, when they got here, it was a little bit different lens and a different time when they got here in their career. But that doesn't mean that Bo Nix wouldn't tell you that he developed a lot as a quarterback when he came here to Oregon. So I think development is still a premium. And if you look at players and see how they're playing in week one compared to how they're playing later in the season, I think that speaks to development on your roster. So does it look different? Yeah, it might look a little bit different. Were those guys here as freshmen? No, but neither was I when they were freshmen. So I think that could look different moving forward for us as well.
Yeah. Oh, interesting. Okay. Well, I don't know if, especially a program like Oregon that's really humming, I wonder how advantageous it would ever be if, when you have the portal and you have quarterbacks in the portal, how advantageous it would ever be to bring in a freshman and you recruit them, but I just mean, starting a freshman seems to put you behind the eight ball more so than a transfer with experience, even though that transfer can obviously grow.
Yeah, you have to be a really special player to be able to play early. And then obviously everybody takes their lumps early in their career too. So, every situation is different, right? Is the juice worth the squeeze? Does it make sense in that scenario to be able to play a guy as a freshman or give them an opportunity to sit and learn as well? And I think every player is different. There's not a cookie cutter answer in that situation.
Yeah. I remember for me, like the light went off in between my second and third year my red shirt going into my red shirt sophomore year, like everything slowed down and it was like, oh, like this is how you do it. But it does feel like nowadays kids are coming in more prepared than ever, but it's like you said, that probably is a very, is it even position by position, or are certain positions more apt to have success early?
Yeah, I definitely think there's some truth that there's some positions that are easier to play than others early on. But again, I've seen exceptions to the rule all the time.
Yeah. And as part of the recruiting process, are you going to promise backup O-linemen thick six touchdowns now? Because you're out doing bits. We're now throwing touchdowns to backup O-linemen. I love it.
Yeah, I don't know that we have to promise it, but we can just point to the proofs in the pudding, right? When you come here and you play, you might get an opportunity like that.
Can I ask, where does that come from? Like, I'm sitting there watching that thing. I'm not sure which I was like, oh my God, this is happening. The fake punt to a 300-pound defensive lineman deep in your own territory, or a record-breaking touchdown to a backup offensive lineman?
Yeah, we always try to be creative and find things that we think will be hard for the opponent. Some of those things we practice a long time, and almost all of them we describe, this is the perfect scenario that we would like this to happen in. And it's just unique that both those scenarios popped up in that game, and it worked out.
Well, Dylan got the record, and it was to him, so who gets the ball?
Yeah.
His only tutty.
Definitely Dylan's ball.
Definitely Dylan.
Okay. For now, right? Only tutty for now. I mean, now people are going to have to game plan Janoris when he's out there on the field, right?
So was there some sort of confidence? Because we got the touchdown, you got the two-point conversion, and the fake punt. I mean, is there some sort of big man hierarchy? Can we power rank the pride that comes along with each one of those big men carrying the ball?
I think every one of those guys was pretty jacked for their opportunity. So it worked out perfectly on Saturday.
Yeah, Birch, I mean, as far as impressive goes, I knew he was an athletic guy. I didn't know he could scoot like that.
You think that might be on his Mel Kiper draft tape?
Absolutely. Like, when you're talking about top end speed, and the number one, like, it's always weird to me when big guys wear single digits. He made it look good. He's out there looking like a tight end.
Yeah, he looks good in it.
Yeah.
This is Dan Lanning with us here. Now, Maryland, would you – uneven performance, is that an accurate description?
Yeah, I think there's definitely left out there that we can do better. You know, there's growth moments that you want to have in every game, and we walked away with some things we can grow in that area.
How much, as a head coach, can you feel a performance like that coming?
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I wouldn't say that we had like a bad week of prep or practice. There were some things that certainly could have been better, but I will say that, like, some of the penalties that showed up in the game, those are some of the same things that showed up in practice. So I'd say sometimes you can feel some of that. I don't know that you predict exactly what it'll look like.
Did I hear you say Wednesday that your defensive backs have been wearing boxing gloves this week?
They have, yeah.
And what is that for?
You can't grab people when you're wearing those.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Is that something you've done before, or is that a new wrinkle?
Yeah. No, that's definitely something we've done before.
Do they like it?
No, they don't like it.
Yeah.
They definitely don't like it. But I don't like penalties either, so it's kind of how it works.
That's right.
I was thinking, like, if you put those on O-linemen and D-linemen, I just think we just end up punching each other. Maybe DBs are a little bit more refined.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, they certainly don't enjoy it, but when you're getting a little too grabby, sometimes you have to try to paint a picture.
So what team that you've played this year does Wisconsin most resemble? Is there one, and what are their strengths?
So they have some similarities from schematically to what Maryland does offensively, you know, with the RPO game and some of those things that they carry. Defensively, I don't know that we've played anybody that does just exactly what they do, but you know, they're big up front on the offensive line. They've got some dynamic slot receivers and good backs. Defensively, I think they're really sound and definitely got some guys that can make plays up front, and their secondary are really good tacklers. So they have some talent. I don't think their record really reflects who they are. You know, they've been hot and cold at times this year, but they certainly have some talent on their team.
We played a clip of Fran Brown. Did you coach with him at Georgia?
I didn't. I know Fran, but I've never coached with Fran.
Hmm. Oh, okay. But you know him.
I shower regardless of the result after the game, but he makes a good point.
Yeah.
He makes a valid point.
He does. Okay. See, I knew you would say that. You're all about that. You guys are, I swear to God, college football coaches are all insane. Fran Brown said, for those who don't know, he said, I don't shower if I lose. So I didn't deserve the soap.
Yeah.
So I wanted to know, in order of intensity, can you power rank Fran, maybe Tosh, Dillingham, and Kirby?
Well, it'd be hard. I haven't coached with Fran. You know, Tosh is definitely a different level of intensity. He carries that every day. I'd say Kirby as well. But I'd probably say Tosh, Kirby, and then Dillingham with those. You know, offensive guys aren't generally going to carry the same level of intensity as defensive guys. And I'd say, you know, Tosh and Kirby are both on the spectrum when it comes to crazy, when it comes to intensity.
That's a good point.
There is something about that. Yeah, it's the defensive guys. Yeah. Defensive linemen are always a little more off kilter than their offensive brethren.
That's right.
Is there a Kirby Smart stamp on your program? Something specific that he does that you brought?
There's a lot of things that we do here that I did there with Coach Smart. So I think it'd be hard to pick things that, there's a ton. His blueprint's all over what we do because he's a guy that I learned directly from. And whether it's doing practice schedules or just even the ability to adapt what you do based on what you need to get better at, I mean, those are all things that I took from Coach Smart.
And is he very similar to Saban since he coached under Saban? I mean, is it kind of all the same or are they two different?
Yeah, I mean, I'd say that there's a ton of similarities, but there's, I think what makes both of those guys good is that their willingness to adapt and change, you know, whether it was Coach Saban changing offensive philosophies, you know, in the midst of his career, or, you know, the way that we defend certain plays in Kirby's, you know, career. So I think one of the staples of both those guys is their willingness to adapt and change based on situations and what your team needs are.
Yeah. One other question I had for you. I was thinking about your time at Georgia and your first three seasons there. Now, you did have the COVID season, but the two seasons before, you guys were really good, didn't quite get over the hump. In 2021, you did. What might you have learned from that journey about what it takes to seal the deal all the way through?
I think it takes a lot of things. I mean, obviously you have to have a talented team and be adaptable as coaches to how people are attacking you and what they're doing. You know, ability to create is really important. But it also takes some good fortune. It takes, you know, being at the right place at the right time, guys being advantageous when the ball bounces up in the air and taking advantage of those moments. So I think it takes good luck. It takes a really talented team. And then you want to try to control all the controllables you can. A team that, you know, preps the right way, that practices the right way. We had a lot of those traits on that team in 2021.
You feel like you have those traits on this team? Because it sure seems like it.
I think we have the capability to be a team like that, but it's certainly too early to say it'll all play out like that. Like I said, it takes some good fortune, too. It takes the ball bounce the right way. I mean, you think about that team in 2021, we got our butts whooped in the SEC championship game, right? And then we're still able to go on and become a national championship team. So there's a lot of football left to play here, and certainly the most important piece of that is us going to take care of business at Wisconsin.
Yep. True. All right. Thanks, Coach. We'll probably not talk to you next week. It's a bye week, so good luck at Wisconsin, and we'll talk to you down the road. Thank you.
All right. Sounds good. Have a good one.
All right.
We will. Jump around.
We will, damn it.
You're planting your flag on that. We are going to have a good one.
You know what? We are.
Yes. It's no Wednesday, but, you know.
No.
We'll do what we can.
Thursday's a different vibe.
I mean, then we get into Friday, and, you know, it's a whole other ball game.
Fran Brown, I don't deserve soap.
Yeah.
God. Brings up a great point. It's one that I had never thought of, is that we talk about these coaches like they're all insane because they are. It's really the defensive guys that are the worst.
I will say that of all the coaches that I've been around, the defensive guy, I mean, Gruden was freaking nuts.
Defensive guy?
No, Gruden's an offensive guy.
Oh, is he an offensive guy?
Yeah, he's an offensive guy.
He seems like a defensive
spider 2Y banana.
Yeah, oh, that's right. It was a different
quarterback school, you know.
It was a different level of insanity in that it was It was controlled. The guy that's losing his ass almost always is the defense.
Like, defense.
I think they're both insane. It's two different types of insane, though. Like, yeah. You get the offensive guy tends to be like more like mad scientist type, yeah, like and then Dillingham. The defensive guy is just the wild man.
Yeah. And that's just, right. Offensive guys are smarter.
Yeah, and defensive guys are just...
I should have asked him that.
They're just angry, and they're yeah. just...
It's, well, they react. The yeah. other ones are the yes. the ones who plan and correct. Plot, and then the defense reacts.
Correct.
And
remember, it wasn't me that said this. This was Deion Sanders. Remember when he was talking about what he looks for in a quarterback and what he looks for in a defensive lineman?
No.
Oh, no.
He said from a quarterback, he wants a loving family, you know, two-parent home, all that.
Seriously?
Yeah, and he did. And he said with the defense...
D-line, he wants...
He wants the broken
drama
home.
Drama.
Yeah, just... Yeah.
Like single mom.
Trauma.
Single,
yeah.
The whole thing.
It's true.
Oh my God.
Look, there's a reason why like Tom Brady is Tom Brady and like Charles Haley is Charles Haley. Like Lawrence Taylor, in my opinion, is the greatest defensive player of all time.
Yeah.
Okay. Changed the game. Joe Gibbs invented a defense to deal with Lawrence Taylor. I'm not sure if you're aware of what Lawrence Taylor has going on in his personal life, but nothing is good.
Isn't he in jail?
I think he's out of jail now. I think he's been in jail. But Lawrence, like, you can't be Lawrence Taylor.
Yeah.
And play quarterback. You can be Lawrence Taylor and be the greatest defensive player.
And just say, hey, go get the quarterback.
Yes.
That's Mike Tyson. They were talking about him and his upbringing in Brooklyn.
It's bad.
It was really bad. Yes. And, you know, you see why he is the way he is.
Yes.
All right.
I don't know if you know this about MMA and boxers, but a lot of the great ones, and by a lot, I mean all of them, none of them came from upper, like wealthy to do
They all started fighting because they had to when they were kids.
Yeah, yes. Exactly. That's exactly what Tyson said. He said they took him to, he went to the spot of his first fight and he said, that's when I knew I had to fight.
Yeah.
Some guy took his birds. You know, he's a bird guy. He's a big pigeon guy. Some guy stole him and told him to F off and called him the N-word.
Yeah.
And he said, all right.
We're going to do this.
I'm going to kick your ass. Uh-huh. And he knew that that's,
yep.
From that point on, he knew he had to fight.
And it started at like 12 and 13.
Yeah,
and by the time he was 15, he was already known around the country as like the most terrifying young boxer.
It's weird to look at old tape of him. He was like, when he was kicking some ass, he was like 20.
Yeah.
He was so young.
He was really young.
He didn't look that young, but he was.
And then he burned out because obviously, like, once Custom Auto died, it was old.
Well, and you have rape.
Yeah.
You have 3 years in prison.
And massive coke issues. And...
Yeah, somebody asked me, they were like, why does Tyson get a pass on all of his rape stuff?
I talk about it all the time.
Well, I mean, yes, but he did serve time.
Yes,
like,
he did.
You know, there's a big distinction there.
But he's become this lovable figure, and he is not.
He's a horrible dude.
He's
guy.
A horrible person, but... I don't know. For whatever reason, people relate to him, and
he's like Martha Stewart.
Did you hear the interview that's been going viral? The one that he did with the child reporter for this fight?
No.
Okay, so we have that if you want it. It's about a minute.
I do.
But basically, there's a child reporter there, and they're asking Mike about his legacy, and it's as if he doesn't realize that this is just a kid interviewing him, and this is what that sounds like.
Oh, well, in your return to the ring for this fight, you are setting a monumental opportunity for kids my age to see the legend Mike Tyson in the ring for the first time. So after such a successful career, what type of legacy would you like to leave behind when it's all said and done?
Man, I don't know. I don't believe in the word legacy. I just think that's another word for ego. Legacy doesn't mean nothing. That's just some word everybody grabbed onto. Someone said that word and everyone grabbed on the word, so now it's used every 5 seconds. It means absolutely nothing to me. I'm just passing through. I'm going to die and it's going to be over. Who cares about legacy after that? What a big ego. So I'm going to die. I want people to think that I'm this. I'm great. No, we're nothing. We're just dead. We're dust.
Boy,
we're absolutely nothing.
I agree with him.
Our legacy is nothing.
You think it's a kid, Mike.
Well, thank you so much for sharing that. That is something that I have not heard before someone say that as an answer.
Can you really imagine somebody say, I want my legacy to be this way when I... You're dead. Why do you want somebody,
true.
You think somebody really wants to think about you? How? What's the audacity? I think I want people to think about me when I'm gone. Who the f*** cares about me when I'm gone?
Oh my God.
My kids, man. Your grandkids.
Yeah, who the true. F*** cares?
That's the greatest thing I've ever heard.
I've said it before. I just do not understand why people gravitate towards Mike Tyson.
He is a very interesting figure.
I just don't get it.
He really is. All right. I would say Dan Lanning's appearances here on The Fan brought to you by Unitas Community Credit Union. Like a coach's playbook, Unitas has a winning strategy for your finances. You, us, Unitas. I don't know. Dan Lanning post game, or should we move on? next. I don't know.
Where do you go after Mike Tyson cursing at a small child? Where do you go? Hey,
but I want more of that.
He was in The Hangover and he's a lovable guy, minus the assault and rape and whatever.
All right, so we'll go somewhere. I don't know where we're going. Tune in to find out next on the
family. You know what? I'm going to cook on your grill.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.